Hi, everyone. This is the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Hutchins. I'm a financial and tax advisor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the goal of this podcast is to help you listeners get educated on different tax strategies that you can implement to improve your tax situation immediately. Each episode, we'll break down useful tax tips you can use to save money, no matter what your personal or business income situation. Because our motto is, keep more of what you earn. So let's get into today's episode. All right, so thank you for tuning in to another episode of How to Lower Your Tax Bill. We are going to be doing a new series as we've been talking about business and just the structure of business and then also how that impacts your taxes. We're going to be talking about when you own the business and you have profits, what do you then do with those profits? And then how does that impact your taxes as a result? So we have Tamia here who's going through her own building on the business. So she'll be asking some questions as we kind of go through this and kind of think of this through the lens of the listener. And I'll be kind of sharing just the conversations I have with business owners on a daily basis around how they think about their business and then ultimately how that impacts their tax situation. So say hi to people, Tamia.
Hey, good people. Hey.
And so one of the things I've mentioned in the past is that when you own a business, you wear two hats. One of those is as the worker, the employee. Now, ultimately, the Goldilocks scenario is you actually run a business where you actually don't have to do anything. You only get the profit of the business.
That's the dream.
Because you have put everyone else in place to do all the work, and then you just share in the upside. So if you go into your business thinking, hey, I'm wearing two hats, you got to think, all right, I'm the talent, but I'm also the owner. And then how am I getting paid for those two positions? So until your business makes enough for the talent, then it actually isn't profitable. So what I mean is if you had to go pay somebody $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever to do the job that you do, and your business doesn't make more than that, meaning whatever revenue comes in minus whatever else you have to pay out. If that difference isn't enough to actually pay for someone to do the job that you're doing, then you actually don't have any profits just yet, which is okay. But the point is when we start businesses, generally we own a job is what we're doing. We own our time and we want to be able to have a paradigm shift in how we think about this so that ultimately we'll set ourselves up to make better decisions that'll put us in a better position in the long run. So we're on the same page so far with that, Tamia?
We're on the same page. And I want you all to know, the listeners, that I do a lot of projecting on this podcast in terms of what Terrence is saying. And I feel attacked all the time, like he's talking about me. But certainly, I think that is so important and interested in what you're saying, right? Because until your business makes enough to pay for the talent, your business is not profitable. And I'm hearing that. And in the real world, I don't think people really make that connection because it's like I have money coming in. I automatically assume that's profit. You know, we're making money, we're making revenue. However, as you're saying that, one of the things that come to my mind is the expenses, right? Because that is an expense, paying for the salary or the money I take or whatever the talent takes. That is an expense. And so I'm wondering what that looks like from a profit standpoint. Like if I don't make enough to pay for my talent, is there any other like markers to indicate I'm on the right track? If I can at least pay for a burger, Terrence, deck on
shoot. So I think it's important to get an idea because even as we will go into more of the S corporation and the tax world of things, there's your salary, which is basically just what goes on your W-2 form.
Right. Okay.
Now in the IRS's perfect world, whatever salary you take, if you own an S corp, is going to be a fair market salary.
Right.
So if you were going to go on Indeed or ZipRecruiter and you said, hey, here's the role that I do, and you can look, hey, this is what the pay is for that role, or the U.S. Department of Labor statistics. If you're a doctor or you're an attorney or you're a salesperson, whatever, in this role, this is what the pay is. So I would use that as a benchmark to help determine what is the value of the work that I do from the marketplace. Because ultimately, the marketplace decides how valuable you are from a salary standpoint. Having that understanding, now I can say, hey, the marketplace would pay $100,000 for this job. So as far as my business is concerned, until I make more than $100,000, I'm either losing money or I'm just breaking even.
Okay.
All right. So ideally, once we've gotten over that $100,000 mark at this point, we then have to figure out what do I do with that excess profit? So that additional profit pretty much can go into five different buckets.
Okay.
So number one, it can go into taxes, which we've talked about before. Taxes are an expense. So that's what we're going to dive into today, as far as the tax component of where it goes. And then in future episodes, we'll dive into the other four. So we have taxes, we have debt. So if I got a line of credit, I have a EIDL loan, if I have a SBA loan, whatever, I can pay off the debt with the profits that I have. I can also just retain the money in the business. Just in the same way, if you as an individual want an emergency fund, your business also needs an emergency fund. We generally will think of that as 2 months of your pay plus your operating expenses.
Okay.
So for easy math, let's say your pay is $120,000. 2 months of that would be $20,000. And then your operating business expenses are five a month. So you're thinking, okay, hey, $20,000 is my pay or labor cost. $10,000 is 2 months of operating. So I would need to have $40,000 that ideally, or $30,000, I guess, ideally I'd like to have as my emergency fund.
Okay.
That's kind of how we think about the money that's in the business that you retain.
Okay.
You also could reinvest that money back into the business. And when you were reinvesting, you're generally going to do that in your four C's. So if you're taking notes, you think, all right, I can reinvest that back into people. I can reinvest that back into systems. I can reinvest that back into my customer base, making our product better. I can reinvest that back into our social, my brand, advertising, things like that. So those are four things. Hey, I can reinvest this money that I made back into the business with the goal that I will have at least a 50% return on that money that I reinvest. So we'll get into that math in a future episode so we don't muddy the waters too much.
Then let me ask you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then the last one, and then you can jump in. Sure. The last one we can do with our money. So we had the five is we can just take it out ourselves, right? I'm going to take it out and I'm going to go spend it or save it or do whatever I want to personally. So what was your question?
So I'm hearing the five, right? The pay taxes, the debt, retain it, and reinvest it or distribute. And I like the four C's, right? When you get that extra profit, you can reinvest it into people, the customer base, systems, or the marketing piece of it. But I want to go back a little bit because you mentioned taxes a lot. Of course, this is called Lower Your Tax Bill, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things as a new business owner myself, is that taxes is like at the top of my mind because there's so many examples, and I mean a lot, of just famous people with a tons of money getting in trouble because they don't pay taxes. So when you think of expenses, and this may be a simple question, but it's realistic. How important is it? And I want other business owners to understand this, even new business owners, right? Like, how important is it to make that a priority when we think about our expenses, right? Because as we talked last podcast, you have the expenses of systems, you have the expenses of, you know, rent, your phones, and just miscellaneous things that come up with trying to run a business. However, a lot of people don't think about taxes until the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? We don't think about it from a standpoint of, let me make sure I'm looking at a profit and loss statement every month, every quarter, you know what I'm saying? To make sure I'm on target and or saving that possible tax bill.
Yeah. So number one, whenever I meet with someone, I think, okay, let's just get a baseline understanding of your situation and what tax category would that put you in. And so in early episodes, we talked about you're an employee, you can be a self-employed, you can be a business owner, you could be an investor. So we need to understand, all right, what are the facts of your situation? Because your facts ultimately determine how you get taxed. Are you single? Are you married? Do you have kids? Do you own a house? Do you not own a house? Do you have investment real estate? Do you have other investments outside? What kind of business are you in? Are you in a service business? Are you in a non-service business? Let's get an assessment of all those things, because ultimately those will dictate how the income shows up on your tax return and then how it's taxed. So that's just number one. And many times, you know, same way when you go to the doctor, it's just, they're going to get an initial assessment. All right, tell me about your habits, your health, right? Now we can do blood work. We can look at more specifics. So that's kind of number one. All right, what are the facts of my situation? Two, depending on those facts, I got to look at the history of what happened. So I got to think about, all right, last year, this is what was reported on your tax return. What's going to be carried forward to this year? Now, one of the things we've talked about in previous episodes was, as it relates to what you paid the IRS last year, that's going to be the first step in helping us determine, number one, how do we not pay the IRS more money? Which, to your point, is planning ahead so that if I have the money to pay my taxes, I pay them when they're due, which means I pay them when the IRS wants me to. When we say due, normally people think April 15th.
That's right.
Which it's like, no, that's not necessarily the case. If you own a business, the IRS, they don't know what you made all year. But they give you a calendar to say, hey, by April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and January 15th, if you owed us $10,000 for the year, they're going to expect you to have paid them in increments tied to those 4 months. So it's like, hey, in the same way, if you borrowed money from somebody and you were paying them back and you had a schedule, they would expect you to pay them on that schedule, or they might charge you a late fee. That's pretty much how business is done. Well, the IRS is certainly no different.
Right.
So if you underpay them, then they're going to charge you more money. So from my vantage point, hey, obviously no one likes paying taxes, but if my facts say this is how I make my money and these are the taxes I'm going to eventually owe, then I need to have a plan on how I'm going to pay that money back on the timeline that the IRS wants to avoid a penalty. So that's number one. Then I need to know, all right, if I'm going to owe the IRS $20,000 or whatever the number is, I need to mentally know, hey, that's an expense I need to build into my business. So I can't just be out here making money, spending it, and then not be thinking about taxes. A lot of people do that, and then that's how they get in trouble with taxes. Similar to if you were married, you just got married, you can't operate like you're single anymore, all right? You got a partner that you have to factor in. The IRS is your partner. If you treat them like they're not your partner, they will become a disgruntled partner. And we don't want the IRS disgruntled.
Right? We don't want the IRS disgruntled. So let me go back real quick. So I think that's important, right? So for myself, I went from the individual W-2 employee to 2025. I have my own business. And so when you say you got to factor that in, what I hear you saying is if you are a business owner, when you're starting and you're considering all the things, expenses, one, the taxes need to be included in that. It needs to be part of when you pay your rent, when you pay the systems or the E&O insurance or whatever, you also need to put a little aside for your taxes as well, right? Because I think, and I do remember this, I am a taxpayer, people, but I do remember this. Is that it is quarterly, and a lot of people do, well, either they don't know or they forget it, or they just wait, or they just say, okay, I'll pay the penalty or whatever, because we have other expenses. So I guess my question to you would be, when you think about your IRS as your partner, how would we, or how should a business really like stop and reflect? Even now, it's June. What is some best practices, maybe two, that a business can stop and do right now to and go to a resource or go to something and say, okay, let me look and see what I paid last year. Let me prepare and to be, so we won't be so frustrated come January. We owe this bill, tax bill.
Well, that's the other, it's not surprising just because I think people compartmentalize taxes. It's almost like getting your license renewed. You know, oh, my license is about to expire. I got to go to the DMV. They dread it. They get it done, and then they just erase it from their mind until their license is about to expire again. That's how a lot of people treat their taxes, which if you do that, you are going to be frustrated, and then you're going to feel helpless because you feel like I have no choice in the matter, which is what we're trying to help educate people, is that you do have a choice based on the facts of your circumstance. So last year, to answer your question, look at line 24 of your tax return. What did you pay? And then look at, I believe it's line, let me double check this. It's the line 11 of your tax return, which shows what was the adjusted gross amount that the IRS, that you basically reported as far as what you made. All right. So that can be pretty close to what you actually had. There's obviously a lot of adjustments right there, but that gives you a good baseline. It's okay, if I take line 24, I divide it by line 11, that's roughly what I'm gonna pay in taxes. Oh, that's on a percentage basis, all right? Now, we talked, if you do own a business, you have to factor in self-employment. So which would be included in line 24, by the way. So obviously, if you're out there and you're just starting a business and you have a W-2 job, you definitely need to work with somebody so they can help prepare you. Yeah. So I'm just giving you just guidelines to give you a baseline. All right, line 24 divided by line 11. Hey, if that was 10%, 15%, I mentally need to know, hey, I had minimum need to build that in as my expense.
Yeah.
So if I bring in $10,000, I need to say, hey, 15% of that, let me set it aside. The other part of that is, you also know, hey, if I brought in 10, that doesn't mean that I'm going to get taxed on 10. I got to also factor in the expenses I had.
Right.
So part of the expense is the direct cost, which other thing, people, is you need to track what you spend. No one is requiring you to be a business owner. Part of the requirements of being a business owner in any phase, whether that's I need to go get a loan, I need to file my tax return, I need to know how much money I'm making, I got to track where my money is going. So if you're not doing that, you're going to always feel helpless on what happened, or you're going to be trying to scramble is really what I see.
Right.
So, hey, every month at minimum, and ideally every week, But at minimum, every month, I need to be looking at, hey, what came in and what went out and where did it go?
Again, Terrence, you're trying to throw me under the bus. Again, I do track. I have some area of improvement. I do track. But okay, so let me get back. So you said one, baseline, understand what tax category you're in, right? This will dictate how you're taxed. Then you said two, your history. What are you carrying forward? Look at your previous year and the line 11, line 24. And then you said you need to partner with the IRS. It's like a marriage. You need to partner with the IRS. You don't want them to be disgruntled with you.
Yeah. Well, you need to think of them as your partner, right? You obviously don't want to, of course, but it, you know, like I said, you just don't really have much of a choice as far as the situation. So yeah. So get an understanding of what the expense might be. Make sure you're tracking what you're doing so that ultimately you'll know how much profit you're going to potentially report. And then that way you can just set that money aside. Now, there are a lot of expenses that are just obvious. Hey, I pay this and that's a direct expense. However, there are some things that just require strategy, which is what we're trying to help people do. They say, how can we bring the expense down of your taxes? Because we said, hey, if I have profit, I'm going to pay tax on that. But what can I do to reduce that expense? So I can do two things, reinvest back into the business, and we'll get into more of that in future episodes. But we have to do that smartly. Remember I said, when I reinvest, I need to think the money that goes back into the business, I need to be making more money as a result. If I'm just investing or reinvesting to lower my taxes, I'm actually losing money because I might've saved 20 or 30% in taxes, but I spent a dollar. So as we've talked about before, right? Don't pay a dollar to save 30 cents. You're out 70 cents. If I reinvest, I got to do it smartly, and we'll get into that. The other thing is, what are some non-cash expenses or expenses I already pay that can allow me to reduce my taxes? So for example, your home office. If I work from home, I need to document that properly. The IRS says, hey, if you use that space exclusively for business and it's your primary place of work, you can write off either $5 a square foot up to 150 square feet or 300 square feet, so $1,500 total. Or I can actually take the exact indirect expenses. So if I rent, I can take, let's say my home office is 10% of my apartment, I can take 10% of my rent as a business expense. Nice. I'd have already paid rent because I don't want to get kicked out, unlike other people in your life. But I could take 10% of my rent and write that off. So that's an expense I would have already incurred that I can use the tax code to my advantage to just reduce my taxes. There are also expenses, like for example, I had a business owner I talked to, and the bigger you get, the easier these are to implement, but it's not that you can't. So two of the things that we always look at is what's called the Augusta rule. For example, this business owner has a nice house and he hosts meetings at his house. He has a company he's with, and he actually invites people on his team over to his house. Well, what I told him is, look, if we just documented this, that, hey, you're already using the house, you already plan to do this, but if we create a formal agreement where you as an individual rented your house out to your corporation for this business purpose and activity, we can just charge fair market rent to your corporation to rent the house out.
That's nice.
All right. So you're just moving money around essentially, but the IRS lets you do that 14 times a year to where the money you receive is not taxed, but the money that you paid from the corporation standpoint is actually deductible. So you just created an extra tax deduction that reduces your tax expense without really costing you out of pocket dollars. All right, your miles, tracking your miles. Hey, if I'm going places, especially now, if I have a small car, I get 70 cents per mile on anytime I drive for business purposes. So if I can track that, if I'm an S corporation, my cell phone, the full cost of my cell phone, 100%, right? I'm already paying it. Let me do that. If I have children, hey, let me see how they can get involved in the business. Can I legally pay them to do that, right? I'm already paying for I got a lot of kid expenses over here. I'm already paying for stuff. Well, can I use stuff? Can I teach them stuff in the business to help me, but then also use that to my advantage to write it off as a tax deduction?
Absolutely.
So those are things that, and the other thing I'll mention that you can chime in. The other thing is, hey, when you have a corporation or a company like an LLC, you need to have formalities, especially the S corporation. You need to be holding meetings to conduct business. When you work for a big company and you have a meeting, whether that's, hey, I brought someone in and we had lunch, right? We had a team meeting, they catered lunch for us. Or, hey, we had a retreat. We went out of town to have this 2-day retreat so we can work through these business initiatives. Well, you can do those same things. It's just your company is smaller. Right. You just need to have, hey, let me have a trusted advisor that can be on my board. So if we go out of town, I would have potentially gone out of town anyway.
Right.
But if I can actually have my corporate meetings out of town, I can now use those expenses of my travel to actually deduct. So we're saying, hey, what are some things creatively we can do that's not going to increase the out-of-pocket money, but we can use the tax code to our advantage to decrease that expense.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because what happens, or you kept on saying, like, not that you can't do it if you're smaller, right? So smaller to me is that disregarded entity that we discussed, right? The LLC that is not an S-Corp, would like to be an S-Corp, preparing to be an S-Corp, but not yet. So as a disregarded entity, when you talk about those meetings and making things work to your advantage, that tax deduction for renting out your home office, all these different things. Is that the same opportunity for a disregarded entity? Can they do the same? Even though they're not doing the 1120, can they take those same advantages on the Schedule C and K and all?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it's just, it might just be reported differently. When you're an S corporation owner, you're also the employee legally. So you actually get a salary. So think about if you work for A&T or whatever corporation you might work for, if you have out of pocket expenses that you pay for, your company has the decision. They could either treat it as, hey, you work from home, cool. But whatever expenses you got, we're not reimbursing you.
Right.
Now, if you're only an employee, then you actually can't write that off. But if you own the business, you can decide as the business owner, you know, actually, I will reimburse those expenses for my employee. And so in the same way, if you went to the store and you bought something, you would submit an expense report to your company to show what you bought, when you bought it, how much it was, so they can pay you back. So you actually receive that money tax-free from them, and then the business writes it off.
Okay.
It's the same concept, except if you're a sole proprietor, Schedule C filer, disregarded entity, you don't have to go through those formalities. You can just write them off directly. Or if you were an S corporation owner, you would just have to document that in what's called an accountable plan, have that same expense report, and then you would just have to complete these transactions every 3 months.
Right.
So every 3 months, you need to look and say, hey, what did I spend personally? Or even if you forgot your business card and you are the business owner, you paid for that personally.
Do y'all hear these attacks on me?
I was giving a common scenario that happens to people, especially as they get older, they're more forgetful. And so they don't always have the, hey, if I need something for my business and I don't have my business card on me, I can pay for it personally. But guess what? I want my business to reimburse me that I can get that deduction. And then if the IRS knocks on your door, a lot of this will never matter because the IRS doesn't knock on that many people's doors. But if they do, you want to have the proper documentation so that your basis is covered.
Now, listen, I know we are winding down, but that's a good segue into my last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, close it out. But what's the most common mistake business owners do with profits that get them in trouble with the IRS?
Well, the most common
example or just from your own experience.
Yeah, so the most common, I would say, is when people have profits, they don't factor in the IRS in the equation. So we file their tax return, and this happens so often, especially the first year. So if you are in your first year and you have a W-2 job, we've talked in prior episodes that when you're considered self-employed, the IRS looks at you as the employer and the employer, employee and employer. They're going to charge you 15% tax on your business profits. So if you have $10,000 of profit, and we're not factoring in you as the employee salary profit, we're talking about what was left over after you spent whatever expenses. So whatever I had coming in, whatever I spent out, that leftover amount is considered profit. They will tax me 15% on that number, plus whatever my top tax bracket is. So if I'm in the 22% tax bracket, I'm going to pay 22% tax, federal tax, plus 15% of what's called self-employment tax. It's really about 14%, but it's about 36%. Mm-hmm. So if you made 10 grand and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got $10,000 extra. It's like, no, actually, you got about $6,400 extra in that case. So that's what they don't think about. Because when we file their tax return, hey, why am I owing this? Or hey, how am I not owing this much? Because they just didn't plan ahead properly to where if we owe that. Now, like I said, I've mentioned some things. There's some other things that you could possibly do to help reduce that amount. But if you're not thinking about the IRS at all, and you're just going about your day, not thinking about them as an expense, that's going to jump up on you. And then you're going to end up owing. So, hey, I get into a payment plan. Now I'm paying a debt. So I got interest. I got penalties for not paying on time. So that just increases what you paid them. All right. So that's probably the biggest mistake I see from that vantage point.
All right. Well, listen, that's all I have. Word to the wise. If you are just starting a business or you are currently in business, stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Take an assessment of what's going on, your profit and loss statement, and then open up a savings account or do something to put that money back. Because I'm going to tell you what, people also get behind when they have to pay those tax bills, right? So that's it's like a trickle down effect. If you don't account for it right now, when you get ready to prepare your return your taxes, and then they say, okay, you owe us, you do call them and get on that payment plan. But if you never stop to include your tax expense in your bottom line, then what will happen is you will be on a forever payment plan with them.
Yeah.
And you'll never really get to see a real profit and enjoy the fruits of your labor. So certainly word to the wise, listen, include them in. Partnership, people. Partnership. Thank you so much, Terrence. I appreciate it.
So cool. So next episode, we'll talk about the two of those other five that I mentioned. So we'll talk about debt repayment or retention. So we'll kind of have a baseline for that. And I'll get into sort of how those impact your tax expense as well, so that you will be prepared and hopefully keep more of what you earn. So we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.